Welcome to episode 144 of Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. About a month ago, I picked up a Canon PIXMA Pro 9500 printer. In Japan, this is called a PIXUS Pro 9500, not a PIXMA, but I believe that it's basically the same printer. Since then, as time has allowed, I've done a lot of printing, trying to figure out how to get the best from this new printer, and now I'm pretty happy with the results. It was a rough road to get happy with it, though. I was certainly not, it wasn't like a relaxing Sunday afternoon drive. There's a lot of work involved, and firstly today, in part one of this review, I'm going to talk about what I like and what I dislike about this printer after this first month of using it. In part two, which will be episode 145 of the podcast, I will also tell you how to work around the limitation that Canon chose to impose on us, which causes you to have to print with a 35mm top and bottom border when using their fine art prints. I will also be releasing a companion PDF file with, that'll be episode 145.1, which you'll find in there some photographs of some of the prints that I've made to compare the various settings as I started to really nail how I was going to be able to do this alongside beating the 35mm top and bottom borders. So I'm going to put that out as a companion to the next episode, so keep an eye out for that as well. Okay, so before we really get into this, let's lay down a few facts and give you some background that you need to know before you can really tell where I'm coming from with this. Firstly, for around 14 years until now, I've been an Epson user. For me, as much as I love Canon's cameras and lenses, Epson has always been my choice of printers. The last Epson printer that I have used is a model called the PM4000PX here in Japan, which I believe is around the 2100 in the US. I bought this printer back in 2002, some 6 years ago, and that I haven't used another printer since. So all of my comparisons are against a six-year-old Epson printer. The good news for Epson is that their six-year-old printer holds up very well for the most part. For the majority of colours that I wanted to print, but I'll get into that a little bit later. I still haven't done a lot of black and white yet, but I can already see with the few prints that I've done that the PIXMA Pro 9500 from Canon does do a better job on black and white than my old Epson. Obviously, Epson have been making a lot of headway in this area as well with their later range, so I haven't been able to compare them apples to apples. But I also, because I know that the black and white on my new Canon printer is so much better, I've really not put much preference on experimenting with that so far. Other things to note is that my old Epson is a 7-color system, whereas the Canon is a 10-color system, both pigment inks. My main paper of choice to date has been the Epson Professional Ultra Smooth Fine Art paper. I have been getting incredible results with the Epson on this paper, and so a lot of my initial investigation over this last month has been trying to figure out how to get as much, and I was hoping for more out of the Pro 9500. One other thing that you might be asking yourself is, if I'm so happy with my old Epson, why did I buy the Canon in the first place? Well, to quickly explain, there's a few things. Firstly, black and white was always pretty hit and miss with my old Epson. Some images came out totally beautiful, and I really did like those, but others would take on a nasty color cast. And as I make my images available for purchase as fine art prints, this meant that I had to be particularly careful. I had to do extensive tests on prints, even if I've never even sold a copy or, of course, just bear the risk of not being able to fulfill an order for a black and white print if I could not correct the colour cast. This is something that's worried me over the years, and it's cost a certain amount of time and obviously money for printing materials as well. And, you know, the hit and miss thing was a little bit annoying. There were also certain images, especially those using deep reds, probably more bright reds actually, that had really sort of, you know, weren't quite possible. And I never really nailed exactly what tone or what colour it was, but, you know, every so often something would come out with looking as though it had even, say, the ink in the red cartridges. Well, it wasn't a red on my Epson, but, you know, the colours that are needed to create the red ink had run out or something. And obviously it wasn't that. I keep an eye on all of those things. But it just sometimes there were colours that just seemed to be missing from the gamut. And, you know, that again meant that if I was to make prints available, you know, images available for creation and then sale as fine art prints, then it put a little bit of risk there, that I really wanted it to be more stable and pretty much know that if I receive an order, I can fulfill it. I was basically hoping that the new Lucia ink system that Canon has put into their Pixma Pro 9500 would help to solve all of my worries on, you know, the color reproduction, you know, with the new 10 colors, including a red and a green. Green was also one of the colors that sometimes just a certain tone didn't come out the way I'd hoped it would. And so, you know, I was looking forward to trying all of this. The other reason for my picking up this new printer is because I've been seriously considering buying the Canon 24-inch wide printer, the Image Prograph IPF 6100, to enable me to print up to A1 plus sizes. Basically, that's pretty much four times larger than the prints that I can create now at A3 plus, or 13 by 19 inch. I'm talking area, of course, here. The thing is, having been an Epson user for so long, though, I was really worried about taking the plunge for the big IPF 6100 without ever using the Canon printer. And I figured that if I was going to regret the purchase, then I'd be better off regretting a $700 setback rather than a several thousand dollar one. Also, you know, if I do go for the IPF 6100, then I would still prefer something smaller that I could just drop in a page and go relatively quickly, which will probably not be the case for this big guy. So the printer will, you know, the new printer that I've just bought will still get a lot of use, even if I do go for the 24-inch printer later. So let's get into the first part here, and I'll talk about things that after this first month of use that I really like. Firstly, the color gamut is wide. You know, it gives a lot of very rich colors, lots of subtle tones, and, you know, mainly due to the additional colors in this 10 ink Lucia system that I just mentioned. You know, it does seem to give richer colors and just more. You know, the like I said, the gamut just seems wider. There were certainly images that just didn't print out in the past, and, you know, especially as I said, with reds and greens and just certain ones that I never really pinpointed. One of the first things that I did with the new printer was tried out these problem prints, and they really do print beautifully on the Pro 9500, but it took a lot of tweaking. And you know, at first I was not sure about the whole thing. I'll get to this more a little bit later, but I was almost ready to take the printer back to the store after the first few days. Another thing that I really like is that there's no longer any necessity to switch the black, and, you know, in my old Epson, you used to have to switch out the photo black and the matte black, and, you know, now both of these, it has a photo, like a glossy black and a matte black in the printer. So when you change from using glossy paper or semi-gloss paper to matte papers or the fine art papers that I use, which basically are, you know, they're like a matte paper. When you switch, I used to have to change out the photo black for the matte black cartridge, but I really didn't like doing that. It was annoying, and it took up a lot of ink to do that as well, because you have to pump it all through the pipes again. So I really just didn't like that, and as a consequence, rarely did it. But with the new Canon, they're both in there, and it automatically switches depending on which paper you select. So that's another big plus. The front paper feeder is nice too. Most of the fine art paper that I use has to be inserted one at a time, and with my old Epson, it had to be inserted from the back. You had to sort of lower a lever, and then I basically, because of my apartment's pretty small here in Tokyo, I had to sort of spin the printer around and put it on sideways on the desk, and then lower this lever, feed the paper in, and then sort of raise the lever. But there was no guide or anything on the printer. Basically, you had to line it up with a white strip that you can see inside. So you had to open the top of the printer, peer down inside, make sure that the paper was in line with that white strip. And you had to do all of this while holding the paper sticking out of the back. And then when it was straight, you just had to raise the lever again with another hand. And, you know, it basically was just a bit of a pain. And it was somewhat hit and miss at first, although you do get used to it. With the Pro 9500, you have to lift the front paper support, the thing that sort of opens up and, you know, drops down when you push it. It sort of opens up there, and if you catch it halfway and just lift it up a little bit, it notches up into a different location, different position. And then when you let it go, it sits down a little bit higher than usual. And that also then, it switches you into the front feed mode, the paper feed mode. And then, you know, to actually put a piece of paper in, you have to press a little button, and then you start getting a little blue flashing light. That flashes for about 15-20 seconds or so, and then you can feed the paper in. And that's, you know, that little wait's a little bit annoying, but on the whole, not it's better, I think. But to explain the rest of the process, you basically then feed the paper in, and you push it right over to the right hand side, and there's a little sort of a notch there, a little cutout that you can put your finger in or your thumb, and then there's a mark that you have to align the front of the paper with. And because you're sort of pushing it over to the side, you know that it's going to be straight, and you just align it with that little white mark, and you're away. You just then press the button again that you pressed earlier, and it flashes for another 15-20 seconds or so, and you're away. You know, it's ready to print. A little bit long-winded, but very sort of foolproof, which it needs to be. And, you know, overall, I think much better than my old Epson in this respect. I also like the fact that there are rear supports for the paper. I also, you know, with the Epson, and I know I keep talking about the Epson, and it's a six-year-old Epson. Maybe not, you know, a lot of these things are incorporated into the newer ones as well. Like I said, that's a bit of a disclaimer there. But one of the things as well is when I turned my Epson printer around, it hung over nothing. So there was no desk or nothing to support the paper. So I ended up having to stick a large plastic ruler under the printer. And then it used to stick out of the back at an angle. And that was basically my paper rest. So very makeshift. The Canon, though, has this built in. There are some sort of collapsible additional supports that, you know, there's a flap that you have to open up at the back before you do any front feeding, because it basically feeds it out at the back of the printer. But then if you put in some large paper like the 15 by 19 inch paper, you end up with it comes quite a way out of the back. And so you have to press this little button thing. You're actually pressing the end of these extra supports, and then they pop out and just really support the paper straight while it's sticking out of the back of the printer before you print on it. And, you know, like I say, I'm sure the Epsons have something like this now. So don't, you know, if you are interested in this printer, but you're also interested in the Epsons, then do take a look at them. I just really ruled them out this time because, you know, of the interest in the 24-inch wide Canon. But, you know, I've loved Epsons so far. And definitely, if you're interested in them both, do a comparison of this yourself, to be fair. As I said, I haven't done a lot of black and white printing yet, but that I have done, I've been very pleased with. What you get from the printer is exactly what you see on the screen, assuming that you've calibrated the monitor. And there's no color cast at all. And, you know, I will be experimenting with toning my black and white prints as I move into the next phase of my tests, focusing a little more on black and white. But I'm actually, you know, they're so straight that, you know, they're so exactly what I see on the screen, that unless I actually give them some sort of a tint or some other tonal qualities, then it's just so straight, it's almost boring. But it's so good, that's the thing. So I'm going to do a little bit more printing with black and white and just experiment with toning them a little slightly different color than just straight black and white, and see how that goes. I might report back, but I don't know it. I doubt that it'll be a full podcast, but I might let you know how that goes later if I find anything interesting. So general positive observations, other than the ones I just mentioned, were that the printer is overall built very well. It's plastic, sure, but then, you know, we don't really need a magnesium alloy body for our printers. And I like the way that all of the front, back, top supports all fold up and essentially close the printer off into like a box. And this helps really to keep the dust out. And I usually keep my printer covered anyway as an extra precaution. As dust, if you get dust inside, it can cause imperfections. If it, say, it drops down as the paper, as the print's being done, a little bit of vibration. If any dust drops down there, and the, you know, obviously if that catches the ink, it can smudge, or it can just leave a white spot, or it, you know, there are things that can happen. So basically, I try to be as careful about that as possible. And the likelihood of this happening is, you know, with the way that the new printer is sort of fully closed, is obviously going to be helping in that respect. It also just simply makes it look good in the office or at home, you know, wherever you're going to end up putting it. So let's, though, move on to some things that I don't like. Firstly, I was pretty worried at first, as I said, as although I consider myself an accomplished printer, I found it very difficult to get accurate colours, accurate colour reproduction with the fine art papers right out of the box. I have to admit that I rarely use the software or the printing tools that come with printers. And I also rarely use the sort of standard gloss or semi-gloss printers, though I have done some experimentation with those papers that we'll get to next week. Other than that, though, I really rarely use the standard sort of setup. I go for the professional fine art papers, and I print from either Lightroom now or from CS3 before CS2 earlier than that. But I, you know, basically, I do a lot of sort of management myself, which I'm used to. I'm having total control. But then when I tried to sort of do that with the new Canon at first, everything just didn't seem to be going right. Having problems right out of the box, what I did do, and this is just another, I guess, an additional annoyance that I'm going to share with you. I tried the Easy Photo Print Pro from Digital Photo Professional, and that's the software that Canon bundled with their DSLR cameras. And I tried one print with the Easy Photo Pro, Photo Print Pro, which is enabled. It might be installed, but I think it's enabled in Digital Photo Professional when you attach a Canon printer to the machine. And you know, basically, I was seeing a terrible color cast with one of the green, predominantly green prints that I'd tried, and I wanted to see if using the Canon software made it any better. And basically, you know, I tried with Easy Photo Print Pro, and you know, it printed out exactly the same color as the Canon profile did from Adobe Photoshop Lightroom. But you know, that was good because it meant that I knew that the problem was somewhere else. It wasn't a problem with Lightroom. But you know, I also decided at that point that the software was really not for me. That it's clunky, it's awkward, and it's just really, you know, putting the word pro on the end of it is kind of an insult to other pro tools. It's basically, I don't want to sort of slam it too much, but if there was a way to get rid of it from my computer just on principle, I probably would. I didn't photograph the results of these first tests. I might do if people want to see, but I did a fair amount of prints. The image that I was using, just to help you sort of envisage more easily as I explain, you know, we can look at the image as we normally do. So the number is 1794. If you're new to the podcast, what you'll need to do is, you know, what you need to know is that the image will now be displayed in iTunes if you're listening on a computer or on your iPod, and if you're listening to the enhanced version. If you're listening to the MP3 version, this image will be displayed all along because it's the only one that I'll be attaching to the file. This week is the only one anyway. But you can also, though, you know, go to, normally if there's more than one image, you have to go to martinbaileyphotography.com and enter the number. For this particular image is 1794, into a field at the bottom of the podcast menu that you'll see in the middle of the menu across the top of the site. And then you just hit enter or click the button and jump to the image in my online gallery. So once you've done that, though, however you're looking at the image, you can see that it has lots of bright greens, you know, very nice sort of fresh background there. But when I printed it at first, it was coming out in various shades of nasty khaki brown, totally different from the original, and there was almost no green in the shot. It was almost as though there was, like, for a while, and I still don't know if this isn't the case. I haven't been back again and tried these same settings again, but it was almost as though there was like oil in one of the print tubes or something. The prints seemed okay in every other respect, and there was, you know, it was consistent. So I don't think that was the case, but it was just so way off that I was thinking that it was something other than just a profile or a settings problem. So basically what I was doing, though, I was printing out to the Fine Art Photo Rag paper from Canon, and I printed about 8 versions before I finally got it right. As I say, I was printing from Lightroom, and I had the printing intent set to perceptual, which is the setting that I've used for years when printing, even before Lightroom when I was printing from Photoshop. For some reason, though, when I printed this green image, I could not get it anywhere near the original until I switched the rendering intent to in Lightroom. I switched the rendering intent to relative. I've never really liked what I get with relative rendering intent, so this was a disappointment. It was the first thing that really, you know, the whole incident here with not getting the right colors was worrying. But then, although I'd cracked it, I'd figured out what was happening, I really just sort of was disappointed because I didn't want to print in relative by default. I also found, as I printed other images, that they were coming out pretty bright on the whole, almost as though the original image was overexposed for some images. And, you know, we'll look at that more in part two when I actually show you some examples that I've photographed. But it, you know, it seems to be happening a lot when using the relative rendering intent. This meant that there was now a large element of risk when I printed because, you know, sometimes I was going to be able to use perceptual, other times I was going to have to use relative. And, you know, even the even larger risk that I would be shouldering now, that, you know, that basically would be an even larger risk that I would be shouldering now than I used to have with my Epson. You know, if you do a 13 by 19 inch print, which basically costs between $6 and $8 a sheet, whether you're, you know, if you're, depending on which paper you're using, Then basically, you know, you don't want to mess these things up. You want to be sure that when you put the paper in and you do the print, that they come out how you want them to. I do, of course, if I make mistakes, I don't worry too much about the cost, because I'd rather have a happy customer and maybe a few dollars out of pocket. But, you know, generally, if you're selling these things, obviously, if anybody's in any kind of business, you'll know that the less waste you have, the more profit. So you want to really get this right first time as often as you can. What I used to do for possible problem prints was to cut up a piece of 13 by 19 inch fine art paper into 10 smaller sheets, and then print these, you know, use these to print tests on that I'd do before going for the full size print. But part of the motive for my printer upgrade was to hopefully remove this element of risk, and you know, the additional effort required here, alongside of that. And so this was the point where I really started to feel pretty negative about the upgrade. The other thing with this printer that really annoys me is that the fact that you are forced to have a 35mm border on the top and the bottom of your prints when you select one of the three available fine art photo papers from Canon. To be honest, for 13 by 19 inch landscape format prints, this is not a big deal for me. I actually use pretty much this size margin at the sides as the default setting for landscape aspect fine art prints. But what I'll often do is I'll move the printed area closer to the top to allow space for an autograph, and I often apply a Japanese stamp to my prints. This is still possible even with the 35mm border, though, because the top and the bottom, when you're in landscape mode, it's the sides, right? And you can print up to, I think, a minimum of 3mm from the sides of the paper, even in fine art paper mode. So that, obviously, it's the top and the bottom of a landscape format print. For portrait format prints, though, I want the printed area to be in the middle. You know, when you turn the paper up vertically, I want it to be in the middle with exactly the same size border on the right and the left. Even though it's possible to move it to the left and right, it doesn't really make any difference to me in portrait mode, because what I want to be able to do is to raise the printed area up on the page and have a smaller border at the top than 35mm. So now I start to get affected by this. What you have to do is essentially leave your 35mm at the top, and if you want the printed area to be higher on the paper, you end up with like a 50mm or 60mm border at the bottom, which is unnecessarily large for the bottom border, in my opinion. Even more ridiculous is that Canon also enforces this 35mm margin when printing to A4 size fine art paper, which means that you end up with a margin that's simply unnecessarily large for some purposes. The printer, of course, is capable of printing right up to the edges, and when you use any other type of paper, there's no physical restriction. It seems to be enforced entirely by the printer driver software when you select one of the fine art papers, really making me think that this is just Canon trying to tell us basically how we should print fine art prints. Of course, many of us look to Canon for the tools of the trade. Without doubt, Canon's innovations over the years have pushed photography forward, arguably further than any other single company, or at least an equal amount as just a few other major photography equipment manufacturers. But trying to tell artists how we should format a fine art print is crossing the line, in my opinion. It's like, selling paintbrushes, but then limiting how close to the edge of the easel the painter can paint with them. All I can say is, if anyone from Canon ever listens to this episode, please open your eyes and understand just how ridiculous and unnecessary this is, and release a driver update that removes the restriction. If, on the other hand, as a legitimate reason for this restriction, then, you know, make it public, either contact me or just make it public in some way and let us know about it. Until Canon does come up with either an updated driver or come to their senses in some way, luckily there's a way to work around this restriction, which we're going to look at next week in the next episode of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. These two things are the only things that I was unhappy with, but until last week, they far outweighed the things that I liked about the printer, so I was really feeling disappointed in my decision to upgrade. Finally, though, last week, after about 3 weeks of experimentation and a few hundred dollars worth of fine art paper later, I not only found a way to work around the 35mm border restriction, I also believe at this point that the same solution takes the guesswork out of the rendering intent or the perceptual intent problem, as both the photo rag and the museum etching fine art papers that I'm using look better with perceptual when printing the way that I figured out you can do it, and getting rid of those 35mm borders. So finally happy with my workflow. The results that I'm getting are great. No restrictions on the border size. And, you know, I'm very, very happy with the printer. The wider gamut is enjoyable. It's nice. Great colors. Nice black and whites. I'm looking forward to experimenting with them more. But generally right now, I'm a happy Teddy. 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago now, I was almost ready to throw it off of my fourth floor balcony. Anyway, if you want to hear how to get rid of that border restriction, tune into the next episode of the podcast and I'll tell you how. So that's it for this first part of my new Canon PIXMA Pro 9500 printer initial impressions review. I hope this has been of some use. As I say, I now love the printer, but I've had a rough few weeks getting to this point. Printing is one of my favourite parts of photography, though, after the initial capturing of the image. So it's been fun as well. But yeah, and it was just really the uncertainty that was killing me. Anyway, as I say, if that 35mm border is annoying you too, tune into the next episode to hear about a very feasible way to get rid of it. For now, though, you just have a great week, whatever you do. Bye-bye.
PhotoCastNetwork.com, your photography resource in the podosphere. PhotoCastNetwork.com.